If you turn there, you might want to be turning in your New Testaments to Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul's letter to Philemon. I want to just make note of one thing that he wrote to Philemon. You'll remember that his letter basically was an appeal to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, the slave who had escaped, who had run away. And he made the statement in verse 10, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me." So he's become a Christian. So he once was a runaway, recalcitrant slave, but now he's a Christian. So he says in verse 12, "I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary." I think that that statement in verse 14, he sent him back. He wanted him to stay with him, but he sent him back because he did not want for Philemon to do it because he had to do it. In other words, I've got to let him go because Paul has him. But rather, that Onesimus in his, or Philemon in his expressions of mercy and grace toward Onesimus would do so not because of compulsion, but rather because it was voluntary. Now, many of you, if you are or have had children and are a parent, you will tell your child at some point in time or another, you're going to have to do it whether you like it or not. I think all of us have said it at some point or another. Whether you like it or not, you've got to do it. And I don't think that's the way the Lord approaches it in regard to obedience. And I want to remind you of the text in 1 Corinthians 13 that came to my mind and always does when I read that account from Philemon. The first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So here, the Apostle Paul reveals that as we do certain things, that something has to be present, that love has to be present. When the Apostle Paul talks about the necessity of giving and giving sacrificially, he says that God loves a cheerful giver. So cheerfulness has to accompany this sacrifice. So it would be inappropriate for us to think of God saying what we sometimes say as parents, "You're going to do it whether you like it or not." What God says, in effect, is you must do it and you must like it. That both are required of us. And that comes ultimately to our heart. And when you look at, as an example, the actions of the Pharisees, one of the things that that was wrong about what the Pharisees were doing is that often what they were doing was outside. It was mere ritual. It was not something that emanated from the heart. They either did it to be seen of men, or it simply was a ritual that was accomplished as a part of their religion. It did not have that proper ardor, that proper love as its motivation. And that's never acceptable. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God expects that we be loyal, that we love Him, that we desire to serve Him. Never should it be compulsive for us. It's simply not enough. God requires that we love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our spirit. And He requires all of us. And so that's something for us to consider. If there is at any point in time that it simply seems to us to be mere ritual, that we're just going through the motions, that we not allow that to continue, but that we examine our hearts and do whatever is necessary to regain our first love. Not to be lukewarm, but to be zealous for God, to serve Him acceptably, not only outwardly, but to do so with that which emanates from the heart. Our love, our devotion, our ardor for Him must be present. And so it's not enough to say you're going to do it whether you like it or not. God says you're going to do it and you're going to like it. And only then can we be acceptable to Him. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. If there's anyone who is here who needs to respond to the gospel call, that gospel is an expression of God's love for you. He loved man so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. We must love Him in return. And we must love Him sufficiently to submit to Him, to, as we accept and believe that, that wonderful gospel, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as Lord, and have a willingness to submit, to be baptized, to have our sins washed away. If you're willing to do that this evening, express that love toward God by being obedient to His will, and we offer ourselves to you at this time. If there is anything else that is amiss in your life, some apathy that is present, or some need, maybe some concern that you have, you would like us to pray on your behalf, and we offer ourselves to you as well. If you have a need to answer that invitation call this evening, would you come? Now, while together we stand, while we sing.